want to say good evening to everyone, and so glad that we all chose to come back this evening to hear a message. But first of all, I'd like to read a scripture on what I'm going to be talking about. And it's found in Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to start about verse 9 and read down about verse 13. And what this is talking about a prayer for spiritual wisdom. Because my topic is going to be about spiritual strength from God's Word. This is what we're going to be talking about. And I thought that this scripture here would be a good lead. Verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to be desire." And to desire. "That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And verse 13 says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Well, that's what we're going to be talking about for a few minutes here. And as we do, I just prepared something here on this presentation here about what we will be talking about. Spiritual strength from the Word of God is what we have. If the Bible is God's Word, then I should, first of all, accept it as the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." First of all, we have to believe what the word is saying. Also, a second point here. Well, I'll just put these up here so you can read them. I'll be reading probably most of it. And Romans chapter 10 and verses 17. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God." John chapter 8 and verse 32. "As ye shall know the truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So these are criteria here about spiritual strength from God's word. We have a table of contents here about what we're going to be speaking about. First of all, we have Bible verses about faith. We have Bible verses about trusting in God. We also have Bible verses about encouraging faith. Also, we have Bible verses for faith in hard times, Bible verses for hope, Bible verses to inspire faith, and also Bible verses and examples on salvation. Bible verses about faith from the scriptures. We have all faced times of wavering and tried our faith. The loss of a job, health problems, death in a family or someone that we know or related to. And we're left sometimes wondering where God is and why these things happen. The Bible tells us that faith is assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Christians find their security and hope in God as revealed in Jesus Christ. When your faith is struggling or struggles to keep believing, because a lot of times we have these things come up on us and we don't believe in Jesus Christ. When your faith struggles, keep believing. Turn to the scriptures for inspiration and encouragement. Also, we will have trouble in this world and face some kind of unknown challenges. However, he also promised that we have victory through our faith in Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. If you are facing hard and uncertain times, you can be encouraged to press on through the scriptures when you read the scriptures. The word of God can lift your spirit and share with others who are questioning God's goodness also too. Because there are a lot of times when people, we get in conversation with people and something happened to them, they'll have, they lose faith and they'll blame God for a lot of things that's going on in their life. Bible verses for trusting God. And this is a scripture here that most of us are familiar with. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Also in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 6, most of us are familiar with that. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. But whosoever will draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who are seeking him. When we seek the Lord, we don't want to lose faith. We got to have that faith that he will do it. And a lot of times people will lose that and they don't believe that God is helping them. Also, in Psalms chapter 28, in verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart rejoices, and with my song I will give thanks to him. Also, in Psalms chapter 18, in verses 2, which is similar to what this verse is. And then there's Romans 15, and verses 13. May the Lord of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In other words, our attitude of confidence in Christ is what we need. We have to have that attitude of confidence. Do you put your faith and trust in what the Lord can do? Psalms chapter 46. In the verses 10, where it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God is going to be exalted. He's going to get his due from us, whether we acknowledge him or not. God is God all by himself. Exalted is to lift up or to highly esteem. God is in control. Let him fight our battles. And as we read Old Testament periods of time, where God did fight the battles of the Israelites, when they were being defeated, God stepped in and he was the one who fought their battles for them. And he will fight our battles also too. Bible verses about faith during hardship. We're going to have some hard times in this life. Perhaps maybe some of you have had hard times. As we said earlier, maybe a loss of a job or maybe some kind of health problem or something from one of our family members or whatever the case may be. But what he says here, he says, fear not. In other words, don't you be afraid, for I am with you. Do we have that confidence in him? He says, I'm with you. Now, God is not going to lie to us. If he says he's going to be with you, he will be with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And just as he told Israel, I'm your God. He didn't want to take them, lead them out there in the wilderness and then just leave them there. He says, I'm your God. I will strengthen you, but we have to have faith that he's going to do that. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, dismays mean a sudden loss of courage and disappointment. I'd like to read a verse from over in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, where it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And also verse 13 where it says, but exhort one another. In other words, encourage one another or lift up one another daily while it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness and sin. Remember how it was over in Exodus chapter 6? Remember when Moses and Aaron was leading the children out of Egypt? Remember how they wanted to turn back and go back into it? And they had been talking about they wanted to get out of it all this time, and then God made it possible for them to get out, but then they wanted to turn back around and go back. That's the way it is with sin in our life also, too. You know, when we are able to, when we come into the knowledge of the truth a lot of times, because of our, the people that we associate with, or we get to thinking about the good old times, the good old days, how we did this and how we did that. Sometimes we think about going back and to what we came out of. That's not going to do us any good, brothers and sisters. We need to move forward. You're going back. You're just making it harder for yourself, you know. So we want to continue to encourage one another to go forward. Also, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 6. But, or and without faith, rather, it's impossible to please him. We can't please the Lord if we don't have that faith. We need to have faith in what God says he's going to do. That's how much do we trust him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whosoever will draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. See, there are a lot of people nowadays with the way people think and what they're talking about and how they look at things now. Well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe that there's a God. This God is asleep. Or this God is forgotten about everybody. You look at crime. You look at all the things that's happening in the world today. A lot of people don't believe God exists. He knows what's going on. He knows everything that goes on with any one of us. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows what to do. He knows. But the thing of it is, though, we have to have faith and trust that he will get us through this. This is not easy. It's not easy for anybody. I don't care who you are. It's not easy for you. Man, woman, child, children, whoever else. Our teenagers get with the wrong crowds. I know I have some teenagers in my family, some grandkids in my family. And I try to talk with them. When you're at home, you're one person, but when you leave home, then you could be somebody else. But everything that you do, everything that you say, God is listening to that. And especially if you belong to him. Even if you don't belong to him, he still knows. Evil communication corrupts those good manners. A lot of people weren't brought up that way. I've had conversations with people in times past, and they were told me, "Said, okay, well, you know, I wasn't raised this way. Okay, you out there, and you're doing everything that everybody else is doing out there, and you said that you weren't raised that way. Well, how did you get that way?" And then if they're open, then they'll tell you, "Well, it's because of so-and-so, or this person that I know." And that's the wrong thing to do or be around. It's those people that's going to influence you in another direction. Also in John 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And the world, or that world system, ye shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In other words, tribulation is something that is heavy. It's something that is burdensome. It's a weight. It's a pressure from evil. That's what those tribulations are. Many people have those trials and tribulations and struggles of life. But you know, we can overcome that. But we have to encourage one another to overcome it. And that's where we come in, brothers and sisters, to talk with our children, our grandchildren, our next door neighbor, or somebody that we know, somebody that we meet. That's our responsibility there. We have Bible verses for encouraging faith. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also are doing," even as also you do. In other words, someone that came to my mind was Barnabas over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. Barnabas was an encourager. And reading part of that verse right there in Acts chapter 4 verse 36, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation. He was a Levite and of the country of Cyprus." This man helped Paul at one time also too. He was an encourager. I think about the 11th chapter of Acts, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. You could find it and correct me on if I'm wrong. But he encouraged. That's what he did. We too can encourage people. Maybe there's someone that we know who's going astray. And you can see that. So what do you do? You're going to let that person go astray? Or you do all you can to help that individual? Some people have gotten to a point that they don't want to come back. What they want to do is they like that world system. They like the things that's going on in the world. But once we have been added to the body of Christ, you see things in a different light. I realize that it's hard for a lot of people. Perhaps maybe you've been doing something all your life a certain way, and then you come into the knowledge of the truth, and then you start seeing things in a different light. And then that old crowd, I know back when I first obeyed the gospel, that old crowd that I used to run around with. Remember when we used to do that? Yes, I remember all of those things. I ran into people that I was in Vietnam with. And we talked about a lot of things. We did. I wasn't a Christian at that time. We did a lot of things there. A lot of things. But you know, God made it possible. We didn't get back home. So we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back. Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope," brother, "by the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead." Christ is our hope of eternal life and salvation. Christ is that hope for all of us. And he will perform what he says he's going to do. Bible verses for encouraging faith. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses 29. But no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. But we don't want to let corrupt communication come out of our mouth. You know, we may not realize this, but when you around people and you talk worse than they do, they're hearing you. And it's okay, well, if this is the way that this person is, either I don't want no part of salvation, or what you're talking about is not really penetrating me. But people have to see a difference in you some kind of way. You don't do this no more. You don't do that. And then, you know, sometimes if we do, we can call that to somebody's attention here. Look, brother, or look, sister, or look, whoever. You know, these are things right here that we're just not going to be a part of. I know back when I used to work for RTD, and I've been almost 26 years with RTD, and there were some routes. I've driven every route that we have, except the new ones that we have now since I've been retired. But Colfax was one of the routes that if you could drive that one, you could drive any route that we had, because you were going to get a lot of different personalities on that bus at different times. I'm not going to get into the name of what you get, who you get on there, but you're going to hear, you heard conversation. You saw things. People did things. Sometimes being a Christian at that time, I wasn't when I first started there. But after I was baptized, then I could see that this is wrong. So when I got some seniority, I said, well, I won't fool with Colfax anymore, because that's something that I'm trying to get away from. And the Lord blessed me to be able to get on some circulators or whatever. You know, it wasn't as bad. I mean, it's all bad, but at some point. But there are some routes that a little bit at that time was a little worse. And to me, as I look at the news and all of what's going on, there is not a whole lot of good ones that's out there now. None of the people that I knew or trained when I was an instructor there, I don't see any of them. The people that I was there with, I don't see any of them. They've all retired or passed on or just whatever, you know. And I don't see any of those. Even some of the students that I used to have, I don't even see them anymore. So we want to make sure that we don't want to let those evil communications corrupt us and let those things come out of our mouth, because we want to build people up and not put them down. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24 and 25, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, strongly urging one another. And this is why it's important to come to church, so we can exhort one another, so we can build one another up. Perhaps maybe there's something that someone is dealing with, and they may want to know, just how did you handle this situation? What did you do? Maybe you can be an influence to them as far as trying to help them understand, because it's not going to be an easy thing. It's always going to be something that is going to be difficult. Bible verses about faith. Romans 10, verses 17, as we've heard before, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is through the word of God, or Christ. Also in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In other words, when we trust God from start to finish, when we come into the knowledge of the truth, from the time that the Lord adds you to the body of Christ, that's the start, until he sees fit to take you on home from God to finish, from starting to finish, brother. We will have eternal life. Some people waver in their commitment and fall away. And you know, working with new babes in Christ, where I once was, I've seen a lot of new babes go back into the world. It's kind of hard. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was talking with a man that we baptized many, many years ago. And being a new babe in Christ, we tried to keep him rooted and grounded, but he fell away. But the man that I was talking with yesterday said that he had come back to church. And he asked about where I was and everything, you know. So I told him, I said, give him my telephone number. Have him to give me a call, because we worked with him. And we worked with a lot of his relatives also, too. But new babes in Christ need to have some kind of training or help in some way, because you're fighting a spiritual battle right here. And Satan is there. He's trying to pull you back into what you came out of. And if you don't watch it, he will do it. He can and will do it. And not only new babes of Christ, I mean, it's elderly people, it's older people too. Because a lot of times we have our understanding here about, well, you know, this is me, so I'm strong and I don't have to do what somebody else is doing, you know. Yes, you do too. Be thou faithful until the end. Then I'll give you a crown of righteousness. But a lot of people say, okay, well, I've been doing God's work for the last 50 or 60, 70 years. So if I just do one thing, that one thing right there can keep you out of heaven if you don't repent of those things. And I want to specify repentance. In other words, see, God will forgive us for those things if we do repent. But if we just keep on growing, well, we can't serve the Lord like that. Also in Galatians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. In other words, that good news that you obeyed, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore, I, Paul, am made a minister. If you remain loyal to Christ, and that's what it's going to take, is that you have to remain loyal to the Lord. You can't be wishy-washy. So, Bible verses about faith. Matthew chapter 24, verse 22 through 24. Remember the unbelief of Thomas over in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 31. I won't read all of that, but I just reference right here that I look at right here. It says, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whosoever say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Do we have to have physical proof? And that's what Thomas was doing. In other words, he didn't believe, you know, Christ was resurrected. That's why Jesus told him, you know, behold my hand, handle me, touch me. And see, a lot of people don't believe those things. But we don't have to, as Christians, we shouldn't have to have no physical proof. All we need is what God's word has already told us to do. So, Bible verses for faith in hard times. And as we said before, there's going to be some hard times in our lives. James chapter 1 and the verses 5 here. If any one of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. In other words, an example here is, Lord, what would you have me to do about this situation, about that situation? We need to be constantly in prayer to God to help us understand what would you have me to do? I've gotten advice from this person. I've gotten advice from that person. But I want to know, Father, what would you have me to do about this situation? Everybody don't have the same answer. Maybe what worked for somebody or someone may not work for you. So that's why we have to be in touch with what God wants to do. As I hasten on here, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is commendable, if there be any excellence, if there be any worth of praise, think about these things. In other words, what he's saying is, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, because we have that avenue of prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, but I consider that the suffering in this present time are not worthy compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I'm mindful of what Psalms 30, verse 5 says. And it says, for his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is light. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's when we have hard times. Yeah, we're going to go through some suffering. We're going to go through some pain. But just remember what the song, the man in Psalms also said too. So, and in Proverbs 18, verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. In other words, set on high. God is our caring Father. He's the one that we should put our trust and faith in. Bible verses about hope, for hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the comfort. Romans 12, 12. Christian hope is strong and confidence in God. He said, rejoice and hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continue instantly in prayer. Romans 15, 4. Whatsoever things written in the former days are written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. In other words, trials and struggles is what the early church went through. They had some trials and troubles and tribulation during that time, but they got through it because they put their faith and trust in what the Lord wanted them to do. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we see, we don't see, we wait with patience. If you're already looking at it, hope is not something that you can have if you already see the outcome. In other words, when we hope, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Only God knows that. So, Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 31. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm mindful of some scriptures here. What we want to do is we want to wait on the Lord. We don't want to jump in front of the Lord. And that's what a lot of people do. They'll jump in front of the Lord and say, okay, I think it'd be better if I do it this way. Sometimes it don't work, sometimes it may, but we still want to wait on the Lord. Remember what Naaman did back in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11 right there? When Naaman, when he said, I thought, he was jumping in front of what God wanted him to do. And then as also Saul, was it back in I think it's 1 Samuel, when he didn't wait on, when Saul didn't wait on Samuel to come for the sacrifice, he wouldn't sacrifice his own self. And that's why Saul missed out on that blessing. Also, Bible verses to inspire faith. John chapter 4, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, there's only one way to God, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. The prophecy never had its original and the human will, but prophet through human spoke from God as they were called along by the Holy Spirit." In other words, this was the work of the Holy Spirit working, and they were guided into what to say and to what to do. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "When the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of himself, of his own, on his own authority, but whatever he hear, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Authority comes from the Father and not from what we do. We read his God's word. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the verses 16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God is the author of all scripture. Now, in my conclusion, what is the difference between physical strength and spiritual sense of strength? Read something from Coach John Wooten, which I thought was very interesting. Physical strength is measured by what one can carry, but spiritual strength is measured by what one can bear. Do we have physical strength and not spiritual sense? Which one do we want? I want spiritual strength. Final scripture here in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 23. "God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect." Now, God also had a plan for man to be saved. The Bible is the best gift God has given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book, talking about the Bible. In this book, it tells us how to live and how to be saved and how to love one another. The plan of salvation, Romans 10:17, also Matthew 24, where we're hearing God's word. And then we must believe what we have heard. And then we must repent of our sins. We must confess the sweetest name of mortal tongue. Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10. We must be baptized. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. And then we must live and remain faithful to death. This evening, if there is someone who needs to do something about their situation, you can do that. And you can come down and have the brethren to pray for you. Or if there's something that you want, pray for someone else about something. You have that opportunity to do so. The plan of salvation and the things that we need to do is here. So at this time, if there's anyone who needs to come, let us all stand and be led in this closing. So.